Hello, sunshine. It is time to rise up and fuel our minds. Great to be back after what was hopefully an awesome weekend. What was your favorite part? Message me at Koi Wire. Mine was meeting so many of you who came up to say hello, like Ellie, Lily, and Maddie representing Beacon Hill Middle School in Decatur, Georgia. Rise up. Since Monday is mostly just a state of mind, let's get our minds right and start this week off strong, shall we? Let's brush up on some history to start. 60 years ago today, more than 250,000 people congregated at the Lincoln Memorial for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. That's where civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. The speech and the movement from the 1960s pushed to advocate for equal civil and economic rights for African Americans. It also called to end segregation, ensure fair wages and economic justice, advocate for equal voting rights and education, among other things. It's one of the most famous days in history and historically credited with putting pressure on then-President John F. Kennedy and his administration to initiate a federal civil rights bill in Congress. On Sunday, tens of thousands of people assembled at the same location to spread the message that the fight against racial inequality is not yet over. The event was a testament to the enduring influence of the original March on Washington and that MLK's legacy of pushing for civil rights is still relevant today. Up next, CNN national correspondent Jason Carroll met with two men who were at the March on Washington 60 years ago today.
It was a call for economic and racial equality, a call to action that brought more than 200,000 people to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on August 28th, 60 years ago, a day best remembered for Martin Luther King Jr.'s historic "I Have a Dream" speech.
Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy.
Among the hundreds of thousands, two young activists who were filled with hope.
I was all the way in the top.
All the way on the top, over to the left.
Yeah, over to the left.
Cortland Cox is now 82, but 60 years ago, he was a 22-year-old working for the civil rights organization SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee.
And what I remember is the platform is there in the center.
Edward Flanagan was there, too.
Where were you? Do you remember?
I was sitting on the wall up top there by the entertainers.
Flanagan is 80 now, but on the day of the march, he was a 20-year-old who had just finished his shift as a waiter. Like scores of others, he wanted to take a stand for civil rights.
I was very close to Joan Baez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was able to notice she was barefoot, and I had on a new pair of shoes.
She was barefoot.
She was barefoot.
A march six decades ago, now seen through the eyes of two different men who shared the same goal many did that day.
It was, in fact, a march for jobs and freedom.
Our thoughts today is that we succeeded in changing this country.
As a young organizer, Cox was responsible for arranging safe transportation for people making the trek from the South to Washington, D.C. He says there were challenges from top to bottom. Much had to be done in very little time.
The challenge from the bottom was the logistics of getting people here. Over an 8-week period, I'm trying to get Trailways buses, I'm trying to get Greyhound buses, and the drivers are saying, look, it's dangerous bringing people to the South.
I've never been here before.
Well, that's very sad.
This week, Flanagan brought his daughters back to the place history was made.
That's the side where the entertainers were.
Cox prefers to stay away this time, saying his marching days are behind him. Both agree while much was accomplished that day, the work is not over.
We are still, while in a much better place than we were in 63, not in the place where one would expect 60 years on.
We succeeded in doing a number of things by what we did in the past, but we also know that we have to do much more for the future.
10-second trivia. In what country would you find the engineering marvel nicknamed the world's greatest shortcut? China, Brazil, Panama, or South Africa? If you said Panama, put your hands up. The Panama Canal saves about 8,000 nautical miles when ships travel between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans to the east and west coasts of the U.S. Panama, a country in Central America, is having one of their driest seasons on record, and vessels traveling through the Panama Canal are in a bit of a conundrum. The Panama Canal is a 50-mile waterway that was completed in 1914 to connect the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and to decrease travel times for ships. It's very important for maritime trade and allows ships to avoid traveling all the way around South America. But now, use of the canal is in jeopardy because of lower water levels. That's being caused by a lack of rainfall this year, which is impacting the freshwater lakes nearby upon which the canal relies. The system uses at least 50 million gallons of water for each vessel that floats through. In response, canal authorities have imposed restrictions on things like daily traffic and how much each vessel can weigh. Just this week, they extended the restrictions for another 10 months. While the direct impact to U.S. consumers, retailers, and manufacturers seems to be minimal right now, the potential for more disruptions are growing. We'll continue to follow this story for you right here on CNN 10. This summer, beachgoers have found hundreds of sea lions and dolphins washed up across the shores of Southern California. Some of the animals sick, some dying. And marine life experts believe a harmful algae bloom is to blame. The algae is called Pseudonychia, and it produces a neurotoxin which can be poisonous to seabirds and fish and can then travel all the way up the food chain, making larger animals like dolphins, sea lions, and even humans sick. CNN correspondent Stephanie Elam visited a marine animal care center to learn how they've been rescuing and caring for a sea lion with the goal of getting them back to the ocean.
A joyous moment, months in the making, as two sick sea lions, now fully recovered, burst onto a Southern California beach, slide into the sea, and swim off to freedom. The journey back into open water for these two was long and uncertain, which made preparing for the release all the more rewarding.
Everybody ready?
The sea lions were driven to nearby Cabrillo Beach for their final release, thanks to the heroic efforts of animal rescuers at the Marine Mammal Care Center.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
Who have been treating more than 120 sea lions for domoic acid poisoning in recent months. Some sea lions didn't survive despite being treated. Poisoned by an extended toxic algal bloom along the Southern California coast, that spread from Santa Barbara to San Diego.
It was the worst for many reasons, the size, the scale, the scope of it, but also the toxicity of the algae.
CNN was there the day rescuers found one of the two sea lions released this week.
She is having a small seizure. What we'll do is just be very gentle with her.
She's now known as Sophie. Sophie gained 35 pounds while in the center's care. And that adds up to a lot of fish. The extreme crisis stretched the center's ability to care for so many sick sea lions. Algal blooms occur in nature, but this year, the high levels of toxins led to record poisoning. This one, growing stronger alongside his mother every day, is now able to participate in puppy playtime, socializing with other baby sea lions, until the pups and their mothers are able to be released as well and join the first two, ready, willing, and finally able to return to the sea.
And today's story getting a 10 out of 10 is really measuring up to be a good one. We're talking measuring all sorts of critters, like penguins and parrots, all being weighed and measured by these zookeepers at a London zoo. Imagine having that job where you have to figure out, how am I going to get this critter to stay on the scale? Now, every year the zoo measures and weighs thousands of animals like this cute little monkey and holy moly, even spiders. Keep that thing away from me. They're going to record these important statistics that can also help to measure their health and well-being. All right, I have a Monday motivation challenge for you. Try saying the alphabet backwards as fast as you can. ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKGIHCVDCBA. Like that. All right, and today's special shout-out this magnificent Monday goes to Summit Virtual Academy in Salisbury, North Carolina. Shine bright, y'all. I'm Coy Wire. We are CNN 10, and we'll see you tomorrow.